You see an ad for a job that you'd like to have and decide that you're going to write a letter of inquiry and send your resume to the company. You really want to be sure that you get it right because you figure there's probably 999 other people who are after the same job. You want to have the correct name for the company, the correct name for the person to whom the letter is addressed, that you spell her name correctly. You want to have the right zip code that is on there. You want to be sure to present yourself in as positive a fashion as you possibly can because you want to stand out in the crowd of applicants. Now suppose that you were to start the letter writing, "Dear Dad." That would either be a very good idea if your father owns the company, or a really stupid idea if you don't know anybody at the company, because that would guarantee a trashing of your letter. Now, take that whole process and escalate it from earth to heaven. Change it from seeking a job to praying a prayer to a God who has a billion plus prayers a day sent to him, and you want to be sure that you get yours right, that you get God's attention. Jesus' followers were interested in how to pray in a way that would get God's attention. And so finally they asked the question that they should have asked long before. They had seen Jesus pray, they had heard Jesus pray, they recognized that he was connected to God in a way unlike anyone they had ever seen, and got the kinds of results that everyone would like to have. So finally, they asked. According to Luke 11, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Before Jesus answered, there was a lesson that they had already learned, but a lesson that he wanted us to know about as well. And that is that prayer must be learned. It has to be taught. It's not intuitive. It's not genetic. It's not automatic. It doesn't just happen. And it is possible to try to pray in a way that gets it wrong. In fact, there are millions of people every day, including today, who pray prayers to gods that aren't even gods at all. They're idols that are made out of wood or stone or brass or steel or something else, but they're not prayers. There are other people who pray to God and offend him more than attract him, who alienate him more than come close to him because of the things they say and the obnoxious ways in which they say those things. It's not that prayer is tricky. It's not that it's difficult to learn. It's not that you have to have a PIN number in order to get in and get God's attention. It's just that it has to be learned. Praying is like walking, it's like talking, it's like reading, it's like writing, all things that need to be learned. Jesus' followers learn to pray by listening to him and then by trying it themselves. And it's the same for us. The way to learn is to listen and to practice prayer. To listen to other people pray, to listen as Jesus prayed, and then try it. To pray privately, to pray publicly. To pray silently, to pray out loud. To listen and practice, listen and practice, listen and practice. That's the way to learn to pray. Now, in order to get his followers started, Jesus offered a sample prayer. And we have nicknamed it, mistakenly I think, but nicknamed it the Lord's Prayer. It really wasn't the Lord's Prayer because there's never even a hint that Jesus ever prayed this prayer. And he couldn't have prayed it. In fact, it was one prayer that was out of bounds for Jesus because it is a prayer that asks for forgiveness of sin and Jesus never sinned. So for him, it would have been an inappropriate prayer. Some have tried to rename it the Disciples' Prayer, a name probably more fitting, but a name and title that has never really stuck. It was a prayer that was not intended simply to be learned and become the extent of our prayer lives as we recite it by rote. In fact, if you this morning or some other time have sat next to someone when the Lord's Prayer has been used in a church service, only to discover that your words are a little bit different than the words of the person next to you, and you thought to yourself, "Wow, I wish they had learned it correctly, the way I learned to pray the Lord's Prayer," you may be interested to find out that the Lord's Prayer appears in different words in the different biographies of Jesus in the New Testament. That is yet another indication that it was a template It was a sample. It was an example of the way we are to pray. But the intent was that we fill in the blanks with our own biography, with our own needs and words. It is like looking for a job. And you go to the store and you get sample resumes and a book. And then you bring them home and there it is. You put your name and an address at the top of the page and what is your career objective. And then list your education and your skills and experience and your work history and your references. Except in the book, they actually put sample names and addresses. Now, you may not know this. You don't want to use those references. You want to use your own references. It's always better that a potential employer calls someone that knows you rather than someone whose name you simply got out of a book. It was never intended that you just copy it verbatim. Always intended that you supply your own information. And so it is with what we call the Lord's Prayer. Don't just copy it out of the Bible. Fill in the blanks. Put in your own information. That's lesson number one, to learn to pray. Lesson number two is to start with God. That's the way it is in this sample prayer. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Jesus was teaching what may be the most important lesson of all, and that is that prayer must start with God. Some people, unfortunately, start with themselves. Sometimes when we pray, the first word is I. I need this. I want your help. I want you, God, to do the following. And then we have our bullet point list. Instead, the prayer that gets God's attention is the prayer that begins with God, not just in the formality of the words. For it is possible to say, Father in heaven, it's me again, and you listen up because there's some things I want you to do today. That would be terribly inappropriate. For the intent is that our hearts start with God, that we are centered on Him and who He is, that it is not just the technical qualification, but the heart attitude. To begin with God is to begin with His name. And we are told to address Him as Father. That is stunning. That is so unlike virtually every other religion of the world. For God is typically portrayed as distant and difficult. And Jesus is telling us that we are to talk to Him as our Father, as our friend, as someone who wants to listen and wants to answer the requests that we offer to Him. But name is not just the putting together of the letters of a word that we form in our tongues. Name represents the whole person. That God is the God who is the creator of the universe. He is the God who is all-powerful and all-knowing. He is the God who is righteous and just and holy. He is the God of high expectations, but He is also the God of generosity and of kindness. He is not only the God who created the world and spun it through the universe, but He is the God who has remained engaged in the finest details of His creation, including all of our lives. He is the God whose name is holy or hallowed. That is, that it is special. One of a kind, it is unique because God is. He is perfect. He is the boss. And so when we start with God and praying to Him by name, we are up front saying that we are committed to Him in every regard, that we acknowledge that He is in charge of all, and that we submit to Him. In fact, we are saying up front that we are committed, that we want His way and His wisdom to be done on our lives here on earth as completely as His wisdom and way prevail in heaven, where He rules in a way that there are no exceptions and there are no sins. That we are saying in advance that we are committed to follow the words of Jesus the night before He was crucified and didn't want to be, saying, if it really comes down to it, our God, not my will, but your will is what I want to have done. So when we start with God, we are saying, Lord, if it comes down to a choice, as difficult as it is, as painful as it may be, I want what you want, even if it is contrary to everything that I ask. Jesus taught us that the way to pray prayers that get God's attention is to always start with God. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now the next lesson, the third, is to ask. Jesus taught them to pray like this: Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And so Jesus says that we may pray asking, that we should ask, and that the asking should be about today, about yesterday, and about tomorrow. That we are to ask for whatever our daily needs may be. You may recall that in the Old Testament story of the people of Israel, after 400 years of enslavement in Egypt, came and for four decades wandered around the Sinai Peninsula. And they didn't bring enough food with them. They couldn't have. And so God provided what was called manna. It was like bread. And they were to gather it every day, and there would always be enough for that day. But if they tried to carry it to the next day, it would rot overnight, and it wouldn't work. They had to wait and get God's supply for the next day. Jesus was saying, pray for your bread for today, or whatever you need for today. Not that tomorrow isn't important, but be concerned about today, and you may ask for whatever you need. Go ahead, ask. For the present and the past. We can't go back into the past through time travel, and we all know that we have made mistakes, we have not done things we should have done, we have done things we never should have done, and the only way to remedy the guilt and fix things about the past is to go to God and ask Him to forgive our past sin. That's the only way. We're told in 1 John 1:9 that we should do this by confessing our sin. The word that is used there means to agree with or to say the same thing as. So to confess sin is not simply to go and say, God, you know, I might have done something wrong next week, so if you could delete that, I would really be appreciated. It is agreeing with God that what we did, we should not have done. So what I said, I shouldn't have said it. It was wrong to say it. When I agree with God about that, I've confessed the sin and He'll forgive it. Or the terribly unkind thoughts that I have had about someone else that I never had any right to think. When I agree with God that those thoughts were out of line, then I have confessed that sin and asked Him to forgive the sin. So we should ask Him about sins that are past. But He also says that hand in hand with the forgiving of sins from God is our forgiving of the sins that are committed against us. That the two are always connected. That God expects, if we're going to ask Him to forgive us, we had better be ready to forgive others. So we should ask about the present, about the past, and about the future. That tomorrow has potential temptations that can take us down. This next week will be full of them. And we may ask Him to preserve us from the things that could wreck our lives and deeply displease God. And He will preserve us. He'll help us. He'll go before us. He'll provide for us. So we should ask Him for the present, for the past, and for the future. On this and other matters, Jesus was very clear and direct. He told His followers, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Another way of putting this is go for it. Just go for it. You have something you want to ask God? Ask Him. There's something you're looking for? Seek it. There's a door you want opened? Knock on it. Go ahead. God wants you to do that. God loves to hear us ask. And God loves to say yes. Well, does that mean that I get whatever I want and whatever I ask for? Well, of course not. God is a father. That would be parental malpractice to give any child whatever they ask for. Parents are supposed to be smarter and wiser and more experienced, and God is. So what parent will always give a child whatever they request? No good parent. So sometimes our Father says, that's what you want? You got it, right now. Other times He says, good idea, hold on, I'll give it to you at the right time. And other times He says, read my lips. No, you're not going to get it. Just no, understand, and Jesus is saying that if He's tilted, if there's a default, He wants to say yes. He is a God who loves to have us ask. So if you want to pray prayers that get God's attention, learn how to pray by listening and practicing. Start with God. Ask the God who wants to say yes. And don't give up. Jesus tells a story about that. Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." And Jesus explains, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Now, the point that Jesus is making here is, don't give up when you pray. But to understand the story, we need a little bit of setting and background. Hospitality in the Middle East is now, was then, a part of the culture, really important. When a friend comes and needs a place to stay, even if you don't have room, you make room. When a friend comes over and is hungry, you have to provide a meal. Even if the friend isn't hungry, you're supposed to provide a meal. In this case, the friend shows up at midnight. Seems kind of rude, except in those days and today. It's so hot in the middle of the day that a lot of people travel when it's dark just because it's cooler and more comfortable. So he shows up at midnight, and he's hungry. And the host knows he's got to provide food, except they don't have any bread in the house. So he goes to his neighbor's house, knocks on the door, and asks him if he'll lend him 3 loaves of bread. If the house was a typical house, it was one room, dirt floor, fire inside in the middle, whole family sleeping on mats on the ground, and the barnyard animals brought inside so they're not stolen and so they can stay warm during the night. And this man hears the knock on the door, and he says, "Go away. Not now." Because he was afraid that the knock would wake up the chicken, and the chicken would wake up the child, and the child would wake up the mother, and the mother would wake up, and they would have chaos, and it would take until morning to get everybody back to sleep again. So go away, go away. But he wouldn't go away. So he kept on knocking and knocking and knocking on the door until finally the chicken's awake and the child's awake, everybody's awake. Anyway, you might as well give him the 3 loaves of bread, get rid of him, and hope to put them all back to sleep again. Jesus says, this is an example of someone who persevered and got what he wanted, not because this man was his friend, but because he bothered him until the results came in. Now, this story has very high potential for misunderstanding, because you could read it and get the mistaken impression that what Jesus is saying is, if you nag God long enough, he'll give you what you want to get you off his back. And this is not what he's saying. Not what he's saying. Jesus is saying, God isn't like this. God wants you to ask. God isn't asleep on the floor. God isn't reluctant. God delights to hear his children come and pray to him. He loves that. And he wants to say yes. He loves to say yes. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So Jesus is saying, don't quit praying. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. God is on your side. God loves to hear you pray. And God loves to say yes. And to make a further point, Jesus says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? Well, Jesus is saying, come on, think of some father. Most fathers are very good to their children. What dad takes his child to McDonald's and the child says, I want a fish sandwich, and he gives him a McSnake? I mean, come on, who would do that? Or he says, oh, I want an Egg McMuffin, and instead he gets a McScorpion. Instead, no father would do that. And he's saying 10 million times more, God would never do that to you. He would never hurt you. He's on your side. You want some proof? He gives to every Christian the Holy Spirit. That at the moment a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of that person. It's marvelous. It's beautiful. It's powerful. He's magnificent. He's inside. There's the proof of it. He is the kind of father who is generous and good. Now put all Jesus' words together, and you have what you need to know to pray. Learn, begin with God, ask, and don't give up. Now, prayer is something that is better done than just talked about. So I'm going to invite you to pray. I would like to ask you to close your eyes, to bow your heads. And instead of me doing the praying, let me lead you through the lessons that Jesus taught. First of all, ask Jesus to teach you what you need to know to pray. Just tell him that you want to learn to really pray well. Now, pray to God. Tell him how great he is. Tell him how much you love him. Take this time to just say everything great about God that you can tell him. Not about yourself. All about God. Next, ask. Ask God for what you need today. And again, ask. Ask God to forgive your sins. And be specific. Tell him the specific sins that you are asking to have forgiven. And again, ask. Ask God to protect you from future temptations, especially the ones that will be coming this week. And finally, tell God that you will be praying again soon and often, and that you're not going to give up. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Amen. And now may the great God, our Father, bless you. May he give you your daily need, forgive your sins, protect you from tomorrow's temptation, and answer all your prayers in Jesus' name.